it is Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
It is that time of the week. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our man, Teron Davenport, to the program. TD, Happy New Year to you and yours. Thanks for taking time to be with us. What's going on, man?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Happy New Year.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, TD, we've been talking about kind of the scope of this game all week on Sunday. If you lose, you're guaranteed no worse than second overall in the draft coming up in April. If you win, it could be anywhere down to seventh. What do you make of what's at stake for the Titans on Sunday in this game and kind of the scope of what the difference could be depending on the outcome there and how that affects this franchise moving forward?
Yeah, this is one of those rare times where it's like you lose by winning. And I'm never one to advocate losing on purpose, but you know, that's something that they definitely need to consider, like at least the front office. I know the players, they're not going to do that. But you look, so you're at two, you get a chance at Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, or you have the ultimate opportunity, which is to trade back. You know, you look at a team like the Giants, who might be at four. You know, you get them to flip, you get another first. Now you got ammo for next year, and you get Abdul Carter in the meantime. So there's different things you could do. You drop back to seven, you still are in good shape, but just not in as good shape. Because now you're looking at, I think Carolina at six, the way things fall right now. I don't think Carter falls past there. So then you're looking at one of the Georgia edge guys. You're looking at Tet McMillan, Luther Burden, you know, someone in that range. And you're still getting a good player, but I just think that trade down option, that's the key difference to me. And that's why now I'll say, you know, at two, it's much better than being at seven, just because you want a team that wants to move up to get one of the quarterbacks. And I thought for sure the Giants would be, you know, one of the top teams, you know what I mean? But yep. Hey, it didn't fall that way.
Well, like you said, TD, the players are having no part in tanking. NFL players don't. In fact, NFL players, I think, absolutely love sabotaging draft hopes like the Giants just did against the Colts. What about coaches? And what about this kind of weird to me QB thing that they're doing this week? Do you look at that as any sort of tie to the fact that the Titans win by losing?
I mean, you could tie that into it. I don't think Brian Callahan would lose on purpose, especially with how this year went. You know, I don't think he could afford to do that, you know. So I think really it is just one of those things where you're trying to give both guys a chance to play. Now, I don't agree with it. You know, I don't think, this sport is one where participation awards should be handed out, right? Everybody gets a chance. I think the bottom line, as Brian Callahan said, they didn't win with Rudolph. And now it's just like, okay, neither one gives you the great chance to win. So they're playing both of them and giving them both one last chance to make a case for themselves.
So, TD, on the L'Jarius Sneed front, like they still need him to be a big part of the answer here moving forward starting next year when hopefully he's back on the field. Obviously, this year has not gone to plan for him. And, you know, he kind of addressed what's going on with him yesterday with the surgery. What's your level of concern with him now if you're Rand Carthon, if you're Brian Callahan looking at this, and based on the way that it's gone with his injuries this year and all the chatter about him, you know, kind of ending in Kansas City there and the injury to the knee and all that, how concerned are you about him and his availability moving forward?
Yeah, I think there is reason for concern, but I feel like this, that surgery is a good starting point in that, okay, they had a surgery, they had a procedure done. That means they have a pretty good idea of what the problem was. So now you went about the first step to fix it, and then you go about rehab. And he told me he's going to work out in Dallas during the offseason. It's someplace he's worked out before, and he'll work to get back. And he said he plans to be back on schedule. But I think there is concern just because it got progressively worse, right? Initially, it was week to week, or day to day, rather, than it was week to week. And, you know, it ballooned into this situation. And it hasn't been stated exactly what it is. That doesn't mean they don't know, but I would like to know exactly what it is. And You know, that's something that he said initially was an issue. No one could figure out what the problem was. But I think the concern level for me would be down now, just because you do know what it is that you're fighting now. So now you just formulate that fight.
But TD, we've been talking today about, and not just today, but today, about low points in this franchise history. Obviously, the last 2 years or 2.5 years have been about as bad as it has gotten for this franchise. Yeah. Big picture question for you. Right now, if you had to identify the one thing or the top thing, reasons for optimism for Titans fans, what would you point to?
Wow.
It's a tough one.
You know,
deep sigh.
There's not a lot to be excited or optimistic about, and me trying to explain this, please understand, I'm not making an excuse for anybody. So I want to make that clear. I think the reason for optimism, if anything, would be some of the improvement that they showed throughout the year, right? Special teams got better. It's not fabulous. It's now like average, but it got from, disaster level to average. So that is something. I think looking at the improvement of Chigakonkwo, I think that's something. Calvin Ridley is someone to be optimistic about. Tony Pollard. But I mean, these are all, again, these are stretches. Like, you're really fine combing it. You know what I mean? To find something. And that's, whenever you're in that situation, that's not good, to be honest with you. So I'm not going to sit here and act like everything is fabulous, because it is extremely the opposite.
TD, I'm interested for your thoughts on this. Everybody's going to focus on quarterback this offseason, and I get it. I mean, we all know how important quarterback is moving forward here. Outside of quarterback, where's your top need on this team right now? Is it offensive line? Is it edge rusher? Like, how do you go about evaluating, like, if it's not going to be quarterback, here's step number one the Titans need to take this offseason?
Do you need me to tell the right tackle story? No, I think, honestly, offensive line and the trenches, we could put it that way. Because, I mean, this team desperately needs – they're not going to have a pass rusher to have double-digit sacks. It's not likely, unless Landry has, like, 2 or 3 sacks. Unless Arden Key has 2.5 sacks. They're not going to have a double-digit pass rusher. You have to have someone who could finish the deal. And what did Denard Wilson say? The offseason is going to be all about figuring out ways to destroy the line of scrimmage and take down the quarterback. You have to get a guy that could do that. So you have that. And then obviously, the right tackle situation, we don't have to get into it. We know that's been an issue for years now, and it continues to be one. So they're going to have to figure out a way to address that. I think quietly, very quietly, safety is a position that they have to look at as well. You get a ball hawking safety that will come up and support against the run, to match up with Amani Hooker. I think that could change the defense a lot. And the run support is important, because look at how many the big runs that this team has given up. That back end, they weren't there to seal the deal. And that's why that 20-yard run became a 60 or 70-yarder. So those are three things right there. Punt returners, desperate. A guy like Uthman Burton could come in and give you a slot option as well as drop back and return punts, I think that's something. Think about Jimmy Horn, too, from Colorado. Yep. He's another guy I think they might want to look at. The Miami slot guy as well. So there are some options there later that they could go to fill some roles.
Yeah, no, totally agree on those needs. And when you talk about pass rush, TD, absolutely, they need edge help. I love Abdul Carter. I mean, if it got to the point, even if they're not trading down, and they're not doing a quarterback or they're doing a veteran, I think he could be a special player. But also, to that point, I did think we'd see a little bit more just based on what he did last year. I mean, he was in the backfield a lot from Tavondre Sweat. How do you evaluate, his rookie season as we enter the last game? And do you think there's more there from him moving forward in terms of being, a little bit more of a quarterback effector?
Yeah, there's more to it. I think as he begins to learn more moves and learn more about leverage and things like that, I think he will be a more impactful pass rusher. But I mean, I think this year was a good year out of him, and he erased a lot of question marks, right? Oh, everybody wanted to. You know what happens? You have an off the field thing, and all of a sudden you're a bad guy, And he's clearly not a bad guy. That off the field situation has been wiped away, and then you look at being known for being overweight and a party guy and not taking things seriously. Haven't been any issues from that perspective. Oh, you want to talk about how many snaps he plays? Okay, no problem. He's second on the team in defensive linemen are playing snaps. I think it's around 67% now. So I think those are things that are positives that he's eliminated. Now it's time to build upon that. And I talked to him yesterday. He said he's going to take kind of like a two-week period to reset. He's going to train with Jeffrey Simmons in the offseason. So, he's going to be right from that perspective because his brother, Jeff's brother, is a very good trainer over there at D1 in Brentwood. So you have that. And I think it's going to be a good second year for him.
Didi, last thing for you here. We're about to get hot and heavy into, coaching cycles here. And Vrabel's interviewing with the Jets today. There's an interesting piece on him that's come out at The Athletic this morning. I'm just curious, your thoughts on him and this cycle and where you think the best fit could be for Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's a culture guy, and he's someone that will come in and make sure that the players and coaches are on the same page, and it's going to be one direction. You have to appreciate that. I think, ideally – I think the Jets are a good situation for him, but he, in my opinion, I don't know what the Raiders are going to do, but if he could get to the Raiders, that would be ideal. And then also, obviously, having a number one pick, if the Patriots want to go ahead and really, turn back the clock and they decide to move on from Mayo, I think he would be ideal there too. So it's crazy. I mentioned two places where the jobs aren't open, but I think those would be the ideal situation.
There you go. TD, great stuff, man. Happy New Year to you. Thanks for taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, for sure. Happy New Year. Take care.
Yep, Teron Davenport, our guest TD here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll react to what TD had to say. Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 8:30. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Appreciate Teron Davenport for being with us in the last segment. We will have Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 8:30. Preds Pick to Click a little bit later this hour at 8:45. Preds are in action tonight, taking on the Vancouver Canucks. Right now, I got a four-pack of tickets to give away to Monster Jam at Bridgestone Arena coming up tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Be caller number 5-615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a four-pack of tickets to Monster Jam at Bridgestone Arena taking place tomorrow at 1 o'clock. 615-737-1025. Joe, I thought that TD's answer there kind of sums up where things are with the Titans right now when you're asking about positives moving forward. He said, you know what? There's some stretches I'm about to take here, but let me throw some your way. Took TD a minute to come up with, son, and I'm right there with him. You asked me the same question. I don't know that I could have come up with as many as he just did, so I applaud him for it.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of stretching to find positives with the Tennessee Titans. I mean, it's a fair point. Like, we haven't talked about special teams in a while. I don't think that's probably changing.
Colts back next year, baby. Bring him back.
maybe. That would be one. I think it was the NFL. I think it was Pelissero and NFL.com mentioned, some changes, mentioned special teams. Probably gives you a little bit of an indication of where that's going. But it's true that they have gone from absolute DEFCON 1 to, which is the worst DEFCON, folks, by the way, to, whatever. It's fine. So that is improvement.
It is. It's improvement from the Detroit game, especially.
Will Levis improved this year from the beginning?
Did he?
Well, from the beginning, yeah, when he was trying to, go behind the back,
I don't know. I enjoyed that a lot more. He did say this week, he said this week, he was like, you know, I was really hoping my last pass of the season wasn't going to be a pick six. So glad to have the opportunity to change that this week. And I was like, not so fast, my friend. You could still do that. Like, that's still on the table this Sunday against Houston.
Yeah, what an interesting. So today, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, as Brian Callahan said, he's going to detail what he's going to do with the QB. Is that right?
I guess so. I'm looking forward to seeing what that looks like. I mean, the two quarterback thing in the NFL, it's really hard to do. Like, this idea has been floated out there before, but like, are you just going to like alternate series with those guys? Are you like, hey, Mason, you're going to get the first quarter, and then Will's going to get the second quarter, and then we're back to you in the third? Like, it's really difficult to do. I would rather him just pick a quarterback and just play the quarterback in the game. And if you feel like you need to make a change halfway through the game and get the other guy in there for the rest of it, then knock yourself out, I guess. But I'm really interested to see what his strategy is ultimately going to be here.
It's weird, but, I mean, it's also it's game 17 of a complete disaster of a season. So, but it's very weird. And, yeah, as we talked about before, I don't think that this is a fank move. I don't think so. I think it's probably do a solid for Will. Will could be back next year type thing, you know. But again, like for me, I never would have switched from him anyway. You're not winning with the other guy. You are getting a little bit better play from the other guy, but ultimately, you know, I just never would have moved off of Levis, but at least he'll get to, and like I said the other day, be interesting to see the response he gets from the crowd. Of course, also be interesting to see how many people will be there to give the response.
There is that. Let me ask you the question I asked TD. Take quarterback out of it, because obviously we're going to spend 4.5 months talking about quarterback moving forward here. The number one area of need that you have to address if you're the Titans this offseason, if they told you heading into the offseason, you're allowed to address one and only one spot on this team that's not quarterback, what spot would that be if you're Joe Rexroth?
Yeah, I'd probably go right tackle. I mean, you hope that Cushenberry, you know, can come back strong and be good at center. That's very important. If not, you know, I'm looking at both of those spots. You're going to have to figure it out, ham and egg it at right guard. If you get better on the left side and those guys keep coming, then if you actually fix the other tackle, and so now you feel okay about your tackles, well, the Titans haven't felt okay about their tackles since Taylor Lewan retired. So that's where I'd go. But I'm with TD. I mean, edge is critical. They absolutely have to get the next young difference-making pass rusher to this defense, and just having that makes everybody else better. And Landry's a pro, and he's tough, and he's come through the ACL repair and all that, but it looks like he's slowing down a little bit, and you just got to address that. You got him slowing down, and you got Arden Key, who, you know, should be somebody's third guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think edge is a huge deal. I mean, the tackle and the offensive line in general has been such a big problem around here that I almost feel like you could, like, over-address it. Like, just address it until, like, get so many different options back there that somebody's bound to work at some point. So I think right tackle would definitely be the answer. But having said that, like, I do think they're approaching critical mass at edge right now. Like, I think Harold Landry has started to go on the downturn, and not that he can't come back and be a good player for you, but, like, is he getting 12 sacks again? Is he getting 13 sacks moving forward? Probably not, would be my guess. So who's that next guy? And I just think when you can affect the quarterback on the defensive side of the ball, which they just really haven't done all year, when you can do that, it changes everything about your defense, right? Like, it changes the entire equation on the defensive side of the ball. So whether that's Abdul Carter or somebody else, like, I think that's got to be a huge priority for them this offseason. You know, the thing is, even if you trade down, Joe, there's some pretty decent edge options that you're going to have in this draft. We talk about it not being a huge, you know, an overly exciting draft class here. Charles has talked about that with us, of not even just the quarterbacks, but the draft class in general, people are down on. Like, I do think you could have some pretty intriguing options at edge rusher in this draft.
Right. I mean, Carter is the headliner. There's some other good guys for sure. It looks like that position's better than others in this draft. LD from McMinnville asks, isn't Cushenberry returned somewhere around next November? So I have not seen that officially, but that would be the old way with the with Achilles. But again, as we've seen just in the last couple of years with Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins, the timeline has been accelerated. Now, is that the same for a big guy?
Right.
I don't know. But the Achilles timeline has been accelerated, you know, at least for some people. So I have not seen officially, like, they're not expecting to. Now, if that's the case, then obviously I think you have to, that's critical to address that, not just with, you know, plan B guy or something. I mean, I think you might need to really, might have to be a priority, you know, and maybe someone who could, you know, someone with the versatility to like slide over to guard if and when he does come back.
Yeah, I mean, if he's not able to go until, you know, mid-October, early November, I mean, you're talking about half the season at that point. So that's a big deal. I've not seen a timeline on that. I'm interested when this comes to an end next week, and if there's some sort of availability from someone that's not Brian Callahan over there, is there more clarity on that in terms of, like, what the timeline for Cushenberry could be? Because you're right. Like, if it is going to be, like, we expect him back mid-October, early November. Well, that's a pretty big deal in the first half of the season for them next year with center play that has just not been good enough. So, I mean, everybody's going to focus in on the tackles, and I get that. The other thing about this too, like, Radins is a free agent. Are you trying to get him back in the fold as your right guard, or are you going after a different right guard this offseason too? Like, it could still look like a pretty different offensive line for this group next year.
Yeah, like a good – you know, somebody you feel really good about, whether it's a free agent or, you know, maybe middle, you know, a little bit later in the fourth round, whatever, as an interior lineman who could, again, maybe even be, you know, fill in at center, move to right or whatever. You got to get better all across that line. You got to have some actual functional depth too. So I know Titans fans get sick of, like, oh my gosh, how many, you know, picks and signings can they devote to this offensive line and still not fix it? But that's the thing. You still have to do it until you actually fix it.
Just go get
it's still what football's about, man. It's still what football's about. It's why the Detroit Lions, you know, are where they are, and the Eagles are where they are, and on and on.
Just go get Cam Scataboo in, like, the fourth round. That's what I did in my mock draft that I did yesterday. Still
Dude,
doing
that guy. That's exciting that you're still doing the mock drafts. And also, I'm here for Scataboo, man. Scataboo in the NFL is going to be fun.
It's Dylan Sampson. He's also available. Could have some running backs. Pretty good running back class.
Bring in all the backs. Full house backfield. Why not?
I mean, be better than what we've seen this year. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, Pigskin Pick'em, coming up next here on Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. We're getting down to crunch time in the competition. The NFL playoffs right around the corner. College football playoff in full swing. So, a locked and loaded competition here that's getting a little tighter. A standings update in the competition. Rex Road and myself both went 3-3 with our locks this past week. Nick Kieser, 1-5, no lock for Kieser. Which brings the overall standings. Nick Kieser remains in first, 59-49 overall, 13-5 on his locks, which has been the big separator for Kieser, 72 points. Rex Road, right behind him, 62-46 overall, 9-9 on his locks, 71 points, 1 point back of Nick Kieser. Myself, 57-51, 7-11 on my locks, good for 64 points. The competition is fierce heading into the playoffs, which are right around the corner. We begin with the Texans and the Tennessee Titans in the highly anticipated matchup that we've discussed today on the program. Titans are actually a 1.5-point favorite in this bad boy. Nick Kieser, we begin with you. Who you got in this one?
I got a good feeling that Brian Callahan really needs this win. And I got a feeling that the Titans just somehow, I guess in the freezing rain, get the job done. So give me the Titans this weekend, guys.
Going with the Tennessee Titans, minus the 1.5. Joe, I don't think I have to ask, but I will anyway. The Titans and the Texans, who you got?
Titans lock.
Knew it.
Absolutely guaranteed to finish this year with this huge dub.
Guaranteed.
What a show we'll have on Monday, if that's the case. I'm going to go with the Houston Texans. I have full confidence in the Titans' ability to lose this football game. I know that it would in some ways be the most Titans thing ever for them to win this game. But I think they can do it. I think they can finish strong here and get to 3-14 and get that number 2 overall pick. I think it's happening this weekend here for the Tennessee Titans. So I'll go with the Texans plus the 1.5. The Vikings and the Detroit Lions in a winner-take-all matchup on Sunday for the NFC North. The winner wins the division and clinches the number 1 overall seed in the NFC. The Lions are a 2.5-point favorite in this one. Joe Rexrode, who do you have in this titanic showdown on Sunday night?
Oh, the Vikings are going to roll. This is almost my lock, but we'll just keep it just, yeah, Vikings big.
I think this is going to be an awesome game. I'm very much looking forward to it. Give me the Detroit Lions, inspired by their win last week in San Francisco with their coach playing everybody who mattered in the game and putting them at risk, but them winning anyway. They will carry that forward. It will pay dividends. The Detroit Lions will be the number 1 seed in the NFC playoffs. Give me the Lions minus the 2.5. Nick Kieser, who you got in this one?
The mighty team will not prevail this weekend. I am very motivated by how Sam Darnold has been playing, so give me the Vikings this weekend and make it my lock, honestly. Wow. I'm gonna go ahead and lock down on the biggest NFC game of the year so far.
Well, with the Minnesota Vikings and locking down in the winner-take-all matchup this weekend. By the time our show is on next week, Joe, on Friday for Pickskin Pick'em, this game will have been played, Penn State and Notre Dame, in the semifinals in the college football playoff. Notre Dame is a 1.5-point favorite in this one, and I am going with the Irish. I just think they're on a roll right now. I think the two best teams in college football are Notre Dame and Ohio State. So give me Notre Dame minus the 1.5 in this matchup. Nick Kieser, who we got in this one?
Nah, I got a feeling about Penn State. I think that they've looked really, really good in the playoff. They've been, you know, calm and collected for the most part. Give me Penn State.
Going with Penn State plus the 1.5. Joe Rexrode, Notre Dame, Penn State.
All right, Robbie, this is 3 for 3 that you have a chance to move up on Nick here. Different from him in all of them. I'm going to be with you on this one. I like Notre Dame.
Going with Notre Dame in the matchup minus the 1.5. 3 individual picks this week. Nick Kieser, we begin with you, your first individual selection.
In an MVP-like manner the last few weeks, Joe Burrow has been quite encouraging. Give me the Bengals minus 1.5 over the Steelers this weekend.
Going with Cincinnati minus 1.5 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Joe Rexrode, your first individual selection.
Yep, same. First of all, you know, the timing of this matters too. The Ravens play first. Have you seen the Ravens line?
Minus 20. I sure have. I'm getting to that here in a minute.
Minus 20. Oh my God. But I think the Steelers are gonna see the Ravens clinch the division, and the Bengals are still alive to make the playoffs, so that incentive matters too. So give me the Bengals as well.
The Baltimore Ravens, as Rexrode has pointed out, on the FanDuel Sportsbook, a 19.5-point favorite against the Cleveland Browns, which I believe, Joe, is the biggest line I've ever seen in the NFL. I don't recall one bigger than that. And I'm taking the Ravens anyway. Give me the Ravens minus the 19.5. In some ways, I can't believe that I'm doing this, but I am. I will take Baltimore minus 19.5.
I hope Bailey Zappi crushes that dream.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. I'm sure that he hopes that as well. Joe Rexrode, your second individual selection.
Okay, so we got some bowl games today, folks. We've got the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Someone's going to get some delicious mayonnaise poured on their head today. Minnesota, Virginia Tech. Minnesota minus 9.5. Give me my freaking Hokies to win this game outright. We're going to shut up the Big Ten in Hokie land, and then we're going to absolutely dip some of those turkeys in mayo.
What was the line on that one?
9.5. Hokies getting 9.5.
Wow. Going with Virginia Tech plus the 9.5. Nick Kieser, your second individual selection.
I think the Commanders just absolutely dominate the Cowboys. Give me the Commanders minus 6.5 this weekend.
Well, with the Commanders minus 6.5 against the Dallas Cowboys. In the Bahamas Bowl, which if I did not make the college football playoff, would be my goal to end up in every year if I'm one of these teams. Give me Liberty minus the 2.5 against Buffalo in the Bahamas Bowl. I'm sure all of you will be watching it this week. Who will be the bigger number? People watching the Bahamas Bowl or people that show up for the Titans and Texans on Sunday? Give me Liberty minus 2.5 against Buffalo and make it my lock. Locking down on the Bahamas Bowl.
Nice.
Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
All right. I'm going Bowl 2 again. We've got the Serve Pro First Responder Bowl, which is at Gerald J. Ford Stadium in Dallas, Texas, a stadium I didn't know existed. It is North Texas against Texas State. Texas State minus 14. Give me North Texas to hang in there and cover that. North Texas plus 14.
Going with North Texas plus 14 in that matchup. Kieser, your final individual pick.
I'm going to go with Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos minus 10.5 over the Kansas City Chiefs. I think Carson Wentz is playing this weekend, right?
He is.
Let's go.
Going with the Broncos minus 10.5 against the Chiefs. I mean, who knows, Joe? Carson Wentz goes out there and plays. Goes out there and plays well. We've gone through some of the veteran quarterback options. That could be another one for the Titans. You could have Carson Wentz in, which I think we'd all love to see that. It'd be good.
Yeah, get on that Wentz wagon. I will say, yeah, I mean, in all seriousness, I hate that idea for the Titans. But I kind of feel like Wentz might give the Broncos a little trouble tomorrow.
I'm looking forward to it. Interested to see how that plays out. All right, my final one. And Titans fans, you're going to love me if it plays out this way. Plays out this way in my entire competition here. I've got the Titans losing. My other pick, give me the Patriots plus the 2.5 against the Bills. They give me the Patriots to win outright. Josh Allen's going to start. I imagine he's going to be out of the game pretty quickly because it means absolutely nothing for the Buffalo
like
Bills.
Like one series.
Yeah, like he's going to start, and that's probably going to be it after that. Jerod Mayo, who knows what's going to happen there? You heard TD talk about it earlier this hour. They could try to move on and go try to attract Mike Vrabel. We'll see. But he needs a win. The Patriots are going to win this game. And the Titans, if it all plays out this way, Joe, according to my little Pigskin Pick'em prediction sheet here, are going to end up with the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. Joe, your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are, yes, Titans fans have to love you and love the idea. But the absolute worst is that you're right about the Patriots.
And the Titans win.
And then at the same time, it's playing out that the Titans beat the Texans. I mean, can you imagine that?
You know,
look at the scoreboard and you're seeing the Patriots win.
We talked about the Titans just beating Houston, maybe being the most Titans thing ever, like the most imaginable result. But I think you just nail what that would be. It would be the Titans beating Houston while New England just hangs like 45 on Buffalo and wins the game.
Oh, my God.
Drake May out there throwing for 500 yards. I can see it now.
I'm sorry for laughing, Titans fans, but it's just amazing to think about this possibility. Oh, boy.
I think it's
hide happening. Your eyes.
I think we're going to be in here on Monday morning, and we're going to be talking about the Tennessee Titans with the number one overall pick. So
that would be a lot of fun.
I mean, either way, the show Monday is going to be awesome. You're either going to be talking about a high draft pick and maybe some light at the end of the tunnel for this unbelievable season that we've all had to witness, or Joe, we're going to be talking about a nice dramatic win for the Tennessee Titans, them sliding down to like 5th, 6th, or 7th in the draft order and totally ruining it all. It's going to be a lot of fun on Monday.
Yeah, we'll have no shortage of topics either way.
There's no doubt about that. Preds Pick to Click is coming up next. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. If you guess the goal scorer for the Nashville Predators tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We will do that coming up next. We'll give our final thoughts on the Titans and college football heading into the weekend as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
It's time for Preds Picks to Click.
And a shot at a score.
Do you think you know who will score a goal in tonight's Predators game?
Little give and go.
Shoot your shot for a chance to win Preds tickets. Call 615-737-1025 now. It's Pick to Click, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds in action tonight in Vancouver, taking on the Canucks. Chase McCabe will have your pregame show at 8 o'clock tonight, so looking forward to that. No change in the standings from last time out. Rex Road in first place with 8 correct answers. I am in second with 5. The listeners have 4 correct answers. Nick Kieser at 3. That's where things stand in the competition. With that in mind, let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Michael. Michael, good morning. Thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Thank you. I'm going to go with Ryan O'Reilly.
Ryan O'Reilly, the selection. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it. So O'Reilly is off the board. Rex Road is up first in the competition. Your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
All right, well, I'm going to guess, you know, he was on a heater to see if we can get going here. How about Marchessault?
Going with Jonathan Marchessault in the competition. O'Reilly, Marchessault off the board. Nick Kieser, your pick to click.
I tell you what, I'm going to go with a guy that has lacked goal-scoring ability, but I think gets it done tonight. One Prince Philip of Forsberg will get back on the board. He has one goal in his, what, last 22 games or something like that?
I believe 23 now.
Oh, boy, there you go.
Not very good. A lot of assists, though. Went up the assist. O'Reilly, Marchessault, Forsberg off the board. Give me Vinny Hinostroza. Hinostroza with a goal tonight, Rex Rowe. What do you think of that? Your thoughts, your scouting report on Vinny Hinostroza.
Oh, I love it, man. That's a great one. And there's so much you can do with that name, you know?
I agree. And I could have gone Ozzie Weisblatt. Looks like he's going to get in there tonight. You know, LaRue gets suspended for 3 games, which is about what I thought it would be. So he's going to be out 3 games. Weisblatt coming up. But I'm going Hinostroza. Led the Admirals in scoring. Led the entire American Hockey League in scoring before he was recalled. He'll get one tonight.
If you get this right, man, you might be turning the corner. I thought LaRue might just get a game.
I'm not surprised by the 3. Like, the slew foot part of it, I think they take pretty seriously. And when I knew that when it was going to be a hearing, I figured that they'd probably throw a pretty good book at him. So 3 is about what I thought. I'm not surprised by it. I know some Predators fans are upset by it, but that's kind of what I expected heading into it. And look, the bottom line is, like, Spurgeon's hurt. We'll see how long he's out. You can debate the intent. Like, I don't personally believe that LaRue was, like, intending to slew-foot him and throw him into the wall. That's the way it happened, and when that happens, yeah, it doesn't really matter what your intent is at that point.
His reputation did precede him a bit into the league, too.
Yep, no doubt about that. Joe, final thoughts on where things stand on the football front heading into this weekend. We'll get into the Titans part of it in just a second, but your thoughts quickly on the final four in the college football playoff, Penn State, Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Texas. What do you make of where we've landed here in the semifinals?
Well, it's wild that, of course, it's 5, 6, 7, 8. The 4 teams that hosted but did not get byes, the teams that got byes all lost. I'm excited for the games for sure. I think Notre Dame Penn State is an absolute just line them up, and I mean, a very good teams in the trenches. I think Penn State's quarterback, I think Penn State may have the best quarterback left in the field, which is interesting to think about, but I think Drew Aller is the best pro prospect of the 4 for sure. So does he make a couple big throws to swing that game? And then the other side, I think Ohio State certainly has the best team. They look absolutely unbelievable. How much does it matter for Texas to be playing at the Cotton Bowl, and how much of a de facto home game will it be for Texas?
Yeah, it's a good question. And is anybody going to be able to come within the same stratosphere of covering Jeremiah Smith? Because if not, I mean, they're just going to roll to a national title here, right? Like, I mean, Texas has had a good defense all year long. Can they approach, like, breathing on Jeremiah Smith, which nobody else has been able to this point?
Right, and that's another thing. I mean, you look at these teams, it's a cliche, but, I mean, I think Notre Dame, Ohio State, Texas, I mean, those are 3 of the – And Penn State's is a very good defense, too, but those 3 are 3 of the top 4 or 5 defenses in the country, and those are the teams that are still standing.
So what you're saying is get you defense travels.
Defense wins championships.
Defense wins championships.
What I'm saying. That's right.
And then, you know, Quinn Ewers can go out there and play for Texas, try to win a national title, and then he can quarterback the Alabama Crimson Tide next year, or maybe Notre Dame. We'll see.
Yeah. And then Arch Manning will just be the automatically be the number one pick because his name's Arch Manning.
Joe, do you have any thoughts at all on the actual football game this weekend that the Titans are about to play in? What are you looking for in this game? Like, what intrigues you about watching this game other than counting people in the stands?
Well, as weird as the QB thing is, I mean, it does make it a little more interesting, right? Like, what is he going to do here? I mean, I find the game more intriguing because Will Levis is playing at all. Because, like, I'm just not remotely intrigued to watch Mason Rudolph play quarterback anymore. But look, I think the Titans are going to play. I think those guys are going to play with everything that they've got to try to win this game because that's what players do. They don't. You can just take your tank and stick it where the sun don't shine, you know? And so it's going to be really interesting. And then we know, like, the Titans could certainly get the 2 and maybe even the 1 in the scenario you played out. So then, like, how does Amy Adams Strunk watch this game? As much as she hates the Houston Texans, but also knows that her franchise could really use that shot in the arm.
Well, at least they'll look good. I mean, they got these jerseys coming up. Like I've said it before, I'm not a huge fan of, like, the Titans' actual jerseys. I like the old ones better. Maybe that makes me a boomer. I don't know. But this one, big fan of. If they switch to these permanently, I'd be cool with it. Even with the Oilers logo and they're the Titans, yeah. I don't care.
No, these are some of the best uniforms in NFL history. But it's also like, man, gosh, this is not the – it's such a fantastic uniform day and probably not going to be quite the atmosphere day to match the uniform day. But maybe a bunch of people will – you know, the thing is, if the weather isn't, like, terrible and it's like you can at least sit there and it's dry, I could see a lot of people being like, shoot, $5? Okay, let's go. You know, why not?
Could be a raucous environment. On Sunday.
You never know. You never know.
Are the Titans fans going to show up, like, wanting them to lose so much that they're going to be, like, making noise while the Titans have the ball? Are they going to be, like, just in total opposition of their team? Just silent when Houston has the ball, and when the Titans have the ball, they're just screaming. Titans have to go on silent count.
Oh, my God. I hadn't thought about that. That would be amazing.
Please don't win this game. Please don't do it.
Texter says, you know your team's in a horrible situation when your fan base wants you to lose. Yeah, this happens, though. Yeah. They're not the only ones. They're the Patriots fans, the grand Patriots franchise, they're in the same boat. Michael and Madison, I want to throw this at you, Robbie. Do you know the last time the Titans organization picked first?
I don't. It hasn't happened since they've been in Nashville. I know that.
Right, because they traded it away in 16.
Yeah.
According to Michael, I think this sounds right. Earl Campbell, 1978. Now there's a pick.
Is that right?
So I say if they get the first pick this year, you said his name already. The new Earl Campbell, Cam Scadaboo. Let's go.
Just go right off the top. Cam, you're coming in, son. Going running back. Be good stuff.
Bring Vrabel back and let's play some 1980s football. Arr.
Hey. Interesting to see how this goes for Vrabel. We brought up the article by Zach Rosenblatt earlier at the Athletic. I would encourage people to check it out. Pretty interesting. A couple of veiled shots by Vrabel, I think, directed towards Amy Armstrong and the Titans in that piece. But that's probably worth checking out by itself. He is interviewing with the New York Jets today. So who knows? Maybe the next head coach of the New York Jets could be Mike Vrabel. Even though if I was him, that would be near the bottom of my list.
Yeah, you go and you go and shake everybody's hand and tell them that you use Johnson & Johnson Band-Aids and get out of there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, everybody keeps talking about the Raiders. I get it, right? Like, because Brady is going to be a big part of it. It's Vegas. I mean, you're going to have...
Karski's convinced that's happening.
Yeah, I mean, I know. Like, a lot of people are kind of adding up that the Raiders could be the most logical landing spot for him. I don't know. Like, I'm interested to see how he views Chicago. You could view it a couple of ways of, all right, you've got the young quarterback, we think, that you could try to build around. It is also a heck of a division that you're going in and ownership that has been a problem in Chicago. So I'm interested to see how he views that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think he's going to have, you know, a lot of this piece is interesting in terms of he got a lot of questions about getting along with people and being right and all that stuff. And so he's obviously on the kind of a campaign to tell people, hey, I can actually work with people, you know. He's going to get an offer. He's going to get a job. He's going to be somewhere. And our enjoyment of the NFL will increase because of it.
It will. Keezer's done some research here. They've got three number one overall picks, 78, 73, and 65. Been a long time since they've had a number one overall pick. Rex Rowe was only like 35 the last time they had it.
Yeah, I just started shaving. Like, oh, Campbell, wow.
Joe, is there going to be any resolution on the Mike Matthews front this weekend? Still kind of in limbo when it comes to what that's going to look like for Tennessee, either in the portal, out of the portal, back in Tennessee, gone elsewhere. We're in limbo here.
So, and you know, I know some people have said that he was confused by Nico's post, and that's how it started.
Which is just wild to me.
Which is just pick and up then the it's phone like, oh, now that I'm in the portal, wow, look at some of the calls and texts I'm getting and some of the numbers that are, I mean, man, I don't know. Tennessee needs to make this go away. They need to fix this. This would not be good for Tennessee.
No, this would not be good for Tennessee. I will say, though, as much as I largely don't like the transfer portal, it does make things pretty interesting in the offseason when it comes to movement. I mean, I'm still convinced that whenever Texas is done here, Ewers is going somewhere, whether that's Alabama, Notre Dame, wherever. I don't think he's going to the NFL. Of course, I didn't think Jalen Milroe was actually going to go to the NFL either, and then he did. So, who knows?
If Milroe can go, yeah, I mean, Ewers may as well too, I guess. But I'm with you. He should stay in college just like Milroe should have.
It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Titans fans, we're here for you on Monday either way. It's going to be a wild show on Monday, either in celebration of a high draft pick or in total outrage of the Titans winning a game at the most inopportune time of the season. We're here for you on Monday. We look forward to it at 6 a.m. Join us then. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Chase and Big Joe up next here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.